Hey, has lichen sclerosis messed with your relationships? You know, partner, family, friends, even at work? Then you need to join us at the Holistic Healing Summit this May 13th to the 17th, because we're bringing all the experts. We're going to be talking about intimacy, sex, as well as how do you talk to your family, friends, provider, boss? All of those things. And this is a free event, live, virtually, so you can catch it anywhere in the world, May 13th to the 17th, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. We've got sessions going on all day. Get more information at lssupportnetwork.org/WHS. That's lssupportnetwork.org/WHS.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for coming to listen to the Lichen Sclerosis Podcast. My name is Kathy, and this is our journal of learning about and living with lichen sclerosis. Each week, I research or talk to someone about an aspect of lichen sclerosis and bring you the information so you don't have to go searching. I bring you the real talk without the medical jargon. And this week, I bring you the continuation of my discussion with Heather Cohen. She's a cancer survivor, an LS warrior, and her journey turned her into a nutrition therapist. The first part of her story, which you heard in the last episode, and if you haven't done that, go back and listen to that episode so that this one makes sense. You heard that she went years, 25 to be exact, years being misdiagnosed, undiagnosed. And unfortunately, by the time she did get diagnosed, she had vulvar cancer. This week, we pick up right when the oncologist is talking to her about her options. Before we get into her story, I want to thank our sponsor, Lichen Sclerosis Support Network. They're a group of creators bringing awareness, information, education, and most importantly, hope to lichen sclerosis warriors all over the world. Be sure to listen all the way to the end to find out some new projects that are coming from the Lichen Sclerosis Support Network. And follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Lichen Sclerosis Support Network so you stay up to date with everything they've got going on. So without further ado, here's the rest of my conversation with Heather Cohen.
This information is for educational purposes and does not constitute medical advice. Speak to your medical provider before making any changes to your care.
So my first appointment with Dr. Bula, the oncologist, his resident came in. She explained how most things work. And then she called him in for the exam. Did the exam, found the growth, said, yeah. He's like, it's growing. And he like put up his fist like it's growing. And he said, okay, we want to get you in for surgery immediately. And then he said, I'm probably going to need to remove the clitoris. And I said, okay, doc, I'm 37. Right. And I already know that there's a 40% recurrence rate with vulvar cancer. So what are you talking about removing important parts if I may have to battle this again in the future? Can we maybe start small? Then I asked him, I said, well, I mean, the clitoris is a pretty large organ. A lot of folks don't realize that it's more than just the little nub that sticks out from under the hood. Right. It's kind of looks like a clothes hanger, and there's a lot of flesh underneath what you can see. Right. I said, well, you have to remove the whole thing. And he's like, well, you can't really just remove partial. You have to do the whole thing. Wow. Which is contrary to a lot of stories I've read from other women whose doctors were able to take partial. So question that if you end up in my situation and they want to take the entire thing, like all nerves. And I said, okay, well, that's not acceptable. I'm not willing to let you take my clitoris, especially if the odds are I'm going to have to deal with this again down the line.
Right. And he said, okay. Advocate for yourself.
Thanks. And this is where he was like, you can let me go in and take whatever I need to take in order to get it all, or we can take as much as we can without removing anything important. And then we can see what pathology says in terms of what is left. Okay. And I took the second option. I said, get everything that you can, leave me intact, and then we'll see where we want to go from there.
Right.
And so everywhere in all of my paperwork, it was documented. Do not remove clitoris. Do not remove clitoris. Leave clitoris intact. Like I said, my pre-op person, the nurses that were getting me ready for in pre-op, like it's everywhere. Documented. Yeah.
Do not make that mistake. I don't want to wake up and y'all be like, oh, they didn't tell me.
I'm like, yeah.
Bitch, we can't go back.
Yep. And he still tried to encourage me right before surgery to let him remove it. And I said, no. Right. Because of the depth of my tumor, they needed to do what's called a sentinel lymph node biopsy. So basically, they inject directly into your vulva with a radioactive dye. And that gets uptake into the lymph nodes. And then you go into radiology and they look at your pelvis through an imaging system. What they're looking for is where did the dye go? So they're looking for the lymph nodes that are closest to the cancerous tissue in question. And okay. So they found those, and those were biopsied in surgery. Turns out when it comes to a lymph node, a biopsy is not a biopsy. A biopsy is removal. So I was not clear about this going into surgery, but it makes sense if you think about it, since lymph nodes are so small. They're not something that you can really biopsy and leave intact, because they'll die.
What exactly are lymph nodes? I hear the lymph nodes all over the place, but I have no clue. What do they do? What are they?
Sure. So part of your detoxification system is your lymphatic system, which is a network of tubes, if you will, that run all over your body that are connected by lymph nodes. And so this is actually part of your immune system. It's part of your detoxification system, and it's part of your immune system. So the lymph system doesn't have pumps. We actually work it with our muscles. So it's actually connected to your digestive system. So when you digest fats, your fatty acids are absorbed into your lymph system. And that's how they get into your body and make all your cells. And then it runs your immune system and then also the detoxification. So that's what your nodes are. They're the little like stop signs, I guess, in all of your lymph system. Okay. It also happens to be kind of like the highway in terms of how infection or specifically cancer travels throughout your body when it decides to branch off and go exploring.
That's why they're so important in a cancer diagnosis.
Yep. So I had biopsies on either side. So they actually cut me where your bathing suit line is, like right alongside your leg and your pubis mons. Uh-huh. So they cut me in those two areas to biopsy the lymph nodes on either side. I lost one lymph node on one side and four on the other. Whenever there's any damage to the lymph system, you have to be aware of something called lymphedema. It's basically swelling where the lymph fluid pools in the area.
Okay.
I now have a spot under my pubis mons where I've got like a quarter size area that fills with fluid that I have to address.
So like when that fills with fluid, you just, what do you do?
I'm lucky in that the space is only about a quarter size, so I can actually push on it and it will drain the fluid back out into the rest of my lymph system. It only happens in heat. Like if I'm out, I live in Arizona, so if I am out too long in the summertime, it'll swell and that'll be a problem. But otherwise, as long as I exercise and I supplement with some things that move my lymph system and eat an anti-inflammatory diet, then it's usually not a problem at all. But I got very lucky in that case. So he injected my vulva, found the nodes, and when he was down there doing the injection, he was like, oh, like he forgot, like he wasn't familiar with my case. He was like, oh, the growth is really close to your clitoris. And he like looked at me and I said, and you will leave my clitoris intact, right? You will not remove it. No, not removing it. And he was like, okay, but you might need more treatment. I said, we'll deal with it. But you're not right. Like,
dude, we've talked about this all the way up to this day. Don't act like you just all of a sudden got amnesia and think that, you know, just because did they put you under?
No.
Or was it local?
It was local. I don't think he even numbed the spot. No, nothing. He just shot me right in the vulva and it burned like so much that I was like squirming and like crying in the pre-op. He went to clean the area. I don't know if it was alcohol or what. And that burned like crazy and he freaked out. And so he wiped that off and then he did the injection, which hurt like crazy. And then I was fine. It was over after that.
That is insane.
Yeah. So he kind of like forgot the details of my case when he looked.
He didn't forget. He just thought you were in so much pain or you were so traumatized about what was going on that he was going to try to slip one through you. He didn't forget.
It's very possible. And I get it, right? Because he's got to cover his own butt. So He wants his job is to get cancer out of your body.
Right.
And it's really by literally whatever means necessary.
Right.
And so it's up to you to decide like where your values are, what's important to you, and what the consequences are that you're able to live with.
Right. You have to advocate for yourself.
100%. And so I went through that. They found that. And then the anesthesiologist came in. Mind you, I've never had surgery ever. I had my wisdom teeth out prior to this, and that was it. So this is my first major surgery ever. I've never been sick, never had to be hospitalized, like nothing. I've never had any major issues. And so the anesthesiologist came in. I'm crying like a baby, 37-year-old woman, like scared to death to go into surgery. And so he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm just, So he gave me some drugs ahead of time, which calmed me down. And so I was able to go into surgery. It was an outpatient surgery. My husband, I think he said it took 15 minutes. It was real easy. So I saw my oncologist for 5 minutes when he did the exam, the first appointment. And then I saw him again for 5 minutes when he did the injection for the sentinel node biopsy.
Now, let me ask you, how long from your first appointment with the oncologist to when you had the surgery?
So they always want to get you in immediately for surgery. So he's like, we can schedule like in 2 weeks or next week. And I was like, well, I have a camping trip. So like, is it really going to get crazy? Like, am I risking my life if I, you know, wait one more week to go on this camping trip with my best friend and her family? And he's like, no, that's fine.
So it was hilarious. A lot of women would be like, cancer, get it out of me now. You're like, nah, I'm just going to go camping.
Well,
I'll see you in about a week or so. Yeah.
I had lived with it for how long now? And I knew the pace at which it was growing. And I was like,
right,
like one more week isn't really going to make or break what we're dealing with here. Right. And he said, that's absolutely true. He's like, no problem. He's like, we schedule around stuff all the time. No big deal. Okay. So it was about 3 weeks in between. And then the surgery was called a radical vulvectomy. And all they did was remove quite a bit of tissue from my left labia. My case is such that my labia minora are fused to my labia majora on both sides.
Okay.
So on the left side where the cancerous tissue lived, they removed the labia minora and quite a bit of the labia majora and a lot of tissue underneath. Like he went all the way down as far as he could near my pubic bone. So if I stand naked in the mirror, my pubis mons actually dips. Like there's a dent like on the left side.
Okay. Like a canyon in there.
Yep. So my anatomy looks a little goofy now, but it doesn't really look crazy compared to anyone who has an advanced stage case of lichen sclerosis with fusing.
Right. With the growth being up closer to the clitoris, were you surprised when you were told that they took all of this other tissue out that was, I guess, further down close to your labia minora, labia majora? Or were you prepared? Did they tell you, okay, we're going to pretty much take an ice cream scoop and scoop this all out?
Unfortunately, my oncologist didn't go into detail about what would happen in the surgery at all.
Okay.
And as far as I can tell, that's pretty common. So if you want like labels and like an actual idea of what you're going to wake up missing, it's really, really important for you to ask those questions and go through that with your oncologist ahead of time. Again, yeah, self-advocacy is like the theme in today's chat for sure.
Yes.
This is what I learned. And I've always been, I'm a tough lady. Like I was.
Oh, I can tell. You go camping before you get your cancer removed. Sure. I gotta be tough for that. Just mentally. A lot of women are just not going to be in a mental space where they're going to be able to go and enjoy a camping trip without that thought of, I have vulva cancer. I'm going to have to go into surgery. What is this going to mean for me for the rest of my life? I'm not going to feel feminine. And all the thoughts that we have just as LS compounded to the 100%. Because now they're actually going in and removing this. And then with the 40% chance that it's going to happen again, that they're not going to be able to take everything out because I don't want to lose my clitoris. All of these thoughts, you are a fucking Amazon. Hello. Yeah, I bow down to you. Okay.
Oh, thanks, Kathy. When I was younger, I did mock trial. Like, I've been into debate and all that kind of stuff. My mock trial coach described me at an awards ceremony as tougher than a barbecued boot.
Okay. They got it right.
And that has served me well. So that's kind of who I am.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
So after the surgery, because of the lymph node biopsy, I had drains. So they put tubes in either side of that bikini line, like where they cut me, to drain any excess lymph fluid so that the body had a chance to try and heal and rebuild those lymph pathways.
Okay.
So I had these like balls. It was like a long tube with a ball at the end that would collect the fluid.
Okay.
And I had to like safety pin them to my shirt and stuff in order to walk around. So they were like, oh, it was not fun. Those were probably the most painful part. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they were removed 1 week later in post-op when he got the pathology report. And he said, we didn't get it all. So We did the sample that went over to pathology, had cancer on like three of the four edges. And what they're looking for is they want a clear margin. The clear margin is basically a 1 centimeter or whatever width they want, depending on your stage. They basically want like a 1 centimeter area around the sample that is normal tissue. That's what they're looking for. And so I had that on one side, but not on the other sides. And that is why he went so large in terms of taking so much tissue, even though the placement was further up towards my clitoris.
Got it.
He said, so from here, your choice is another surgery and you let me take whatever I need to take in order to get the rest of it. Or we go through 35 weeks of pretty intense radiotherapy, so radiation, with low dose chemotherapy as well. And I was like, I don't like either of those options. And he's like, well, there's nothing else I can offer you. Those are the options. So unfortunately with cancer, there's a standard of care like everything else. And so the options available to conventional oncologists without risking their license are chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, and clinical trial. That's it. There are no other options on the table. It's literally cut it, poison it, burn it. That's all they have available right now.
Or try an experimental treatment.
Or something new that we're not even sure does anything yet.
Right.
So I was like, okay, well, let me set up an appointment with the radiation oncologist and we'll see how it goes. So I set up a meeting with him. At the same time, I set up a meeting with my naturopath. I've been seeing a naturopath forever because of my Hashimoto's and she's wonderful. So I went to the radiologist's meeting and he's explaining what would happen. And they basically mark where the cancer is so they know where to point the lasers. And he takes me through the whole spiel. He's like, every single day for 35 weeks, and we would blast you with this radiation therapy. And he's like, and he told me the side effects. He's like, you will have burning. It will like your skin will burn like second degree, at least across your entire vulva. You will lose elasticity in your skin. So there's a good chance that I wouldn't have been able to use my clitoris would have been non-functional anyway, had it been radiated. There were things on there, like you're going to have loose stools. You're going to be very, very tired. Your intestines could be damaged. Your bladder could be damaged. You will go into menopause. All of your reproductive organs will be fried. Sure. The list goes on and on and on. And then he was like, so here's the sheet. He's like circling a few. These will definitely happen. And then these will probably happen.
Wow.
Like it's like intestinal, like damage, like everything in my lower quarter below my belly button could have been at major, major risk. And then that's just the immediate side effects. There could be long-term side effects of bone pain and lymphadenopathy and lymph swelling. He's like, this is what you're dealing with. He's like, this is definitely going to happen. This could happen. And then he was really like if you don't have to go through radiation, don't go through radiation. He's like, this sucks. And he literally told me, he's like, I'm so sorry that your choices are shitty and shittier. He's like, but this is the toolbox right now. This is what we have to work with. Wow. So the radiation guy was really pushing me to go have a second surgery. Mm-hmm. And he's like, just have it surgically removed. He's like, I would not submit anyone I care about to radiation if it wasn't like 100% medically necessary.
Wow. It sounds like he was pretty much telling you, okay, you can lose your clitoris and not have that sexual organ anymore, or you can fry your clitoris, be a poopy,
person who might just pee on herself as well and not be able to digest your food properly. And it's going to hurt when you sit and walk and everything is just going to be burnt down there. Right. So, and yeah.
The elasticity, so sexual penetration will be hard. You won't be able to, like, it'll shrink and that's just gone.
Wow.
No chance of kids ever if I wanted them.
Right.
Yeah. Like the list was like the risks were pretty intense. And then mucous membranes would be fried. So like the glands, like I would not be able to produce self-lubricant anymore. Mm-hmm. Like all of that. And I was like,
what was going through your mind while he was telling you these things? Because you were set and determined that you were going to save your clit.
I was fighting to preserve normal function of my body.
Right.
I didn't know that that was a value of mine until all of this stuff kind of came down. And that's when it was like, okay, it's time to reevaluate my values because obviously something is amiss. Turns out normal function of my body is very, very valuable to me. That's what's important to me. And so that's what I was fighting for. So when I learned how radiation can affect you, I was like, well, crap, maybe I do need to reconsider this surgery. Mm-hmm. And that's when I went to go see my naturopath. Okay. And she said, okay, she said, so you're dealing with squamous cell. Squamous cell is one of the weakest cancers. You can actually knock it out with natural means. It happens to be one of the cancers that likes to travel and spread the most, but it's also it's very weak. Like you can knock it out. And she told me a story. She told me several stories about her own client caseload, her patients. And she said one woman in particular came in, she had uterine cancer and we were treating with natural means, vitamin C, lots of supplementation, nutrition change. And she was actually getting better. And then she decided to change her mind. She's like, I don't know if she had pressure from family and friends or doctor or what happened, but she changed her mind and went in and did radiation and chemotherapy mm-hmm. and ended up having to have her entire colon removed and now has a stoma. And then she's been having bladder issues for the rest of her life. And so she was basically telling me, first of all, figure out what's important to you and do not let that go. She's like, fight for yourself no matter what. And then she said, and there are other options that the conventional oncologists don't have access to. And then she referred me to a clinic here in town that specializes in naturopathic cancer treatment. So I started seeing a naturopathic oncologist as well. And went in and met with her. And she said, so here's our protocol. We would do hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And then we would do...
What's that?
So hyperbaric oxygen is when you are zipped into... It looks like a capsule, like a human-sized capsule. Mm-hmm. You're zipped inside and they raise the pressure really high and pump oxygen, pure oxygen into the capsule. Mm-hmm. And so that helps you to basically take up more oxygen in your system than you normally would just breathing. So they use it a lot of times in conventional medicine for healing. So if you have like a really acute infection or post-surgery, or even for dealing with the after effects of radiation treatment, they'll put you in the hyperbaric chamber to accelerate healing.
Okay.
One other thing that I didn't know until later is that cancer smells bad. And it turns out I was not just fat and sick and depressed, but I stunk.
Wow.
My husband actually, he told me later that I smelled bad because how do you tell your wife, like, dude, your coochie stinks.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's not a conversation.
He hasn't been able to describe the smell. And so now, I mean, we get a whiff test on a regular basis. Like, okay. Like everything smells good down there. It like looks okay. Everything's cool. So he always lets me know. So now he helps me with monitoring the area. But when I was going through.
To go to your sniff test, babe.
Right. But when I was going through cancer treatment and I was doing the hyperbaric oxygen chamber, the nurses would often comment about how I smelled good coming out of the chamber. So okay. Like everyone else has like this funky smell, but you smell good.
Wow.
And so they could tell based on the smells coming in and out of that chamber, who was progressing in healing and right. who was not. Because I mean, naturopathic cancer treatment is usually a lot of folks who are like desperate last ditch effort. Because like it's terrifying to say no to any kind of treatment, let alone try the stuff that everyone thinks is wacky.
Right, right, right.
So she said we would do hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and then we would do IV nutrient therapy, which is mostly vitamin C. It's high dose vitamin C, like over 50 grams. So normally when you take vitamin C in a capsule form, like supplementing from the health food store, there's like 1,000 milligrams per capsule. So that's 1 gram. We're talking 50.
Wow.
And the only way for your body to absorb that is through the blood. So they'd have to go through an IV. And so it would be a cocktail of vitamin C and magnesium and zinc and B and like all of these other things and some herbs. So we would do that for 3 months. And then also change nutrition habits. We would change stress mitigation. We would work on detoxification, just a laundry list of lifestyle changes. And then you would retest. You'd go back in for scans and see where you're at. Okay. And so I was like, what are like, how effective is this? Like, does it work? And they had a lot of data on their particular client population. And it looked like it was doing well. And me, being the nerd that I am, I pulled all the data out into Excel and looked for the types of cancers that I knew were squamous cell. So lung cancer is squamous cell, throat cancer is usually squamous cell, vulvar cancer. And I think ovarian cancer oftentimes is also squamous cell. So I looked for all of those that were the same type of cell that I was dealing with. And it turned out that, I mean, it was a better prognosis than chemotherapy without all of the effects of radiation. And so I ultimately decided to go down that path, and I refused the chemo and radiation and the additional surgery and went down that path. And I did 4 months of the high dose vitamin C 3 times a week and hyperbaric oxygen 3 times a week. So I would spend an hour in the hyperbaric oxygen chamber, and then I would spend an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending on how long it took for this gigantic bottle of nutrients to get into my system. And then I also had a very heavy supplementation regimen, taking mushrooms and modified citrus pectin and curcumin and a whole laundry list of things every single day. And then I changed my diet. I went with a therapeutic ketogenic diet. So no more sugar, no more, none of that. Took out the things I'm allergic to. So no dairy, no gluten. As soon as I changed my diet, the itching stopped from LS that was left. Done. Because I had actually stopped eating gluten and dairy prior to my initial consult with Dr. Brooks, who did the biopsy for the cancer itself. So I wasn't itching at all for like 3 or 4 days before I went to that appointment. Everything was still white though.
Right.
So I changed like everything, changed my diet, changed the way that I work, like quit my crazy stressful job, went to therapy, started dealing with like old like emotional baggage that I've been dealing with forever, all of that. And ended up cancer-free in February of 2018. So I was diagnosed August 2017, cancer-free February 2018. So next month, I'll be 3 years cancer-free.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
And in the process, my lichen sclerosis went into remission.
That's awesome.
So I quit. I never picked up the steroids again after my surgery. I used it for 2 weeks prior, and I just didn't have any symptoms, so I never picked it up again after surgery.
So how do you treat your LS now? You're still doing that treatment?
Not all of it. So the IVs are no longer happening. The hyperbaric chamber is no longer happening. Those things that were specifically for cancer.
Okay.
And then my supplement regimen has come down quite a bit. I discontinued a lot of the stuff that was specifically for cancer, but all the things that support my immune system and balance in my body, I've kept.
Okay.
So all of those are still there. Nutrition has stayed the same. So I don't eat sugar. I don't eat carbs. I don't eat grains. I basically stick to meat and vegetables, nuts, seeds, coffee, tea, water. That's kind of my whole diet.
Okay.
And I exercise every single day. I really focus on good sleep and stress mitigation. I cleaned out everything around me in terms of chemicals and environmental toxins. I healed my gut. I've been working on all of that stuff. And I just haven't had to do anything else. I do, full disclosure, I do take an immunomodulation medicine. It's a prescription. It's called low dose naltrexone, which a lot of women in the LS community have heard of. I take it to make sure that my immune system is not overactive, but not suppressed either. So oftentimes with autoimmunity, conventional docs will give you something like methotrexate, which is like a chemotherapy drug that suppresses the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
They think if it's attacking you, then just turn it off.
Right.
Unfortunately, that leaves you open to things like cancer and things later on. Be careful there. Make sure you know the risks before you accept that kind of prescription.
Right.
But low-dose naltrexone is interesting. So it's a low dose of a drug that was actually brought about in order to treat opioid addiction.
Mm.
So when you get addicted to like OxyContin and those types of things, they'll give you naltrexone in a larger dose because it blocks the opioid receptors in the brain. So you can't get that high from those drugs and helps you wean off. But if you take it in a very, very small dose, it actually straightens out a dysfunctional immune system. And so they're using it a lot in treatment of autoimmunity and cancer. So I still take that. And that's it. That's the only, in terms of like treatment, I think that prescription is it, other than diet and lifestyle change for now.
So do you still see the oncologist?
No.
Is the naturopath oncologist, are they still monitoring you?
Yes.
How often do you see the doctor now?
So for the cancer, I get scans on an annual basis. So next month I'll go in for this year's scans, just to make sure there's nothing growing in me that shouldn't be.
Right.
And then as far as the LS, my naturopath knows what it is and understands it. And so she's on standby with a clobetasol script if I need it. So I always have kind of a tube filled and on hand just in case. And when I need to, we'll do an exam, but otherwise it's no longer an issue. I mean, I monitor it myself. I take photos on a monthly basis to make sure things aren't changing and being weird.
Going through that process where you change your nutrition and it's helped you beat cancer and save your clitoris, it led you down a new career path, right?
It did, yeah. So I had to quit my marketing job just because it was too much. It was too heavy. And so when I decided that I was going to go ahead and refuse conventional treatment and go down the natural path, I knew that I had to make a complete change. Like I had to overhaul my entire life. Otherwise, all of that work and the money, I paid $35,000 out of pocket for that treatment, was going to be for naught. Like if I was not going to change my habits and actually live as a healthy person, then I needed to actually go subject myself to the more intensive conventional therapies, because there was no way that I was going to be able to like make it stick.
It was a full on life change, like for real. Diet, it was job, it was the way you handled your stress and
everything.
Family, you said you got rid of the toxins in your home. So I guess you went, more natural, organic, things in the house.
Started buying organic produce and then also went through all my health and beauty products. So then they're now all toxin-free, paraben-free, all natural. I am one of those crazy people that wears the deodorant made out of charcoal. So yeah, went through the whole deal. So basically, I quit my job and made healing my full-time job. And then through my healing process, decided that I wanted to actually become certified as a nutritionist or a practitioner and help other people take control of their own health. And I'm a firm believer that both conventional and holistic are important. Mm-hmm. And using both together is probably your best bet. Because if you're just going through conventional treatment and you're expecting that those treatments are going to fix whatever you're dealing with, whether it's autoimmunity or cancer or something else, and you're not going to actually take ownership of how you contributed to your illness, then those treatments are only going to go so far, and any side effects, you're going to have to deal with them even harder than someone else who's doing both, in my experience.
That's amazing.
So that's what I did. So now I'm a functional diagnostic nutrition therapy practitioner. It's a long, long title.
That's awesome. So come back next week, because we are going to go full on into what Heather does now and deep dive into what a nutrition therapist does and how the food and everything that we put into our bodies makes a difference as far as our disease and how our body feels and how to work with our medication to make us better. Because like she said, if we don't make the changes and we're just putting a Band-Aid over it. And I fully agree. I believe that to make a long-lasting difference, it's got to be a combination of diet and medicine, stress management, mindset. All of that is going to make the right combination so that we can live with this disease and still be healthy and still have a meaningful life with everything that we want: children, relationship, happy, positive things in our life. and for it not to be high maintenance. I really believe a lot of ladies are afraid, especially when they're first diagnosed and they're going down the Google wormhole and the Mayo Clinic and they're seeing these symptoms, and then they start thinking, am I ever going to be able to have kids? I've heard so many times, I don't want to live like a nun. I want to be able to have sex. I'm scared. I'm worried. It's causing me anxiety. And there are options. You don't have to live like a nun, but you are going to have to make some changes. You have to, or else it's going to be even harder for you.
Yep. So. And this is applicable to anyone. If you're using the steroid creams, this is absolutely applicable to you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a combination. You got to find the right combination for you and for the changes that you're willing to make, because not everybody is willing to go all natural or, you know, organic and get rid of everything in their home that has chemicals and things like that. Or, and they might not be willing to go all organic as far as their food, but knowing what changes need to be made and then moving towards that as far as you want to go, as far as your lifestyle, at least you have the education and you have the knowledge to know what's possible.
Absolutely. And it's different for every single person.
Absolutely it is. And I say it all the time. LS is an individualized disease, and your treatment and your management is as individualized as your disease is.
100%.
So, thank you so much, Heather, for sharing your story with so much detail. I learned so much today, and I know my listener learned so much as well. And I cannot wait to dive into nutritional therapy with you and learn even more.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me, Kathy. I really had a great time today.
Thank you.
What an amazing lady. Okay. I cannot wait to dive deeper with her on nutrition therapy, on everything that we can do to detoxify our bodies, to make sure that we're living our healthiest life. Definitely go follow her on Facebook and Instagram and check out her website for some amazing information. I preach advocating for yourself all of the time. And Heather's story is just a prime example of why it's so important that we know what we know and we fight for what we believe in, what our values is, the way we want to be cared for. Because if we don't fight for ourselves, nobody else is. And we're just going to be walking ducks following someone else and not knowing if that is the right way for us. And if we're true partners with our medical providers, then we're going to feel better. We're going to have more confidence. We're going to be more willing to follow the treatment plan. And we're going to get better faster because we're invested. If you haven't listened to the episode I did on advocating for yourself, go to the show notes. There'll be a link in there. Go listen to that episode, and I'm going to be coming out with even more information on how to be your biggest advocate and be the leader of your team. I want to hear your story. Email me at Kathy with a K at lichensclerosispodcast.com or DM me at lichensclerosispodcast on Instagram. Let me know your advocate story. Let me know what advocating for yourself has done in your life. You know who else is all for advocating for yourself? The Lichen Sclerosis Support Network. Part of being able to advocate for yourself is being surrounded by supportive people who can help you, who can answer questions, who can give you food for thought. And you can do that by coming to the Lichen Sclerosis virtual meetups. We do it every other Saturday from 2 to 4 and 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can sign up for notifications and updates at lssupport.net/connect. Again, that's lssupport.net/connect. And if you're looking for inspiration and hope, check out another Lichen Sclerosis Support Network sponsored project, The Lost Labia Chronicles. It's a blog written by Jacqueline, who, if you haven't listened to her diagnosis story, I sincerely encourage you to go and listen to that. Again, I'll have all of that information in the show notes. But seriously, if you're looking for inspiration, if you're looking for hope, you have got to join this blog. And you can do that at lssupport.net/joinTLLC. Join TLLC. And that's for the Lost Labia Chronicles. And there's a new project coming out at the beginning of April. I spoke about it at the end of some episodes ago, and it got postponed just because of time issues. But come April 1st, the Spanish edition of the Lichen Sclerosus podcast will be finally coming to the public. And that is a podcast co-hosted by myself and Denise from Alas de Papel. And she's on Instagram at alas.papel. We look forward to bringing you the conversations around lichen sclerosis in Espanol. And if you want to be the first to know about any of our new episodes, go to lssupport.net/Spanish. That's a lot of information. So just go to the show notes and everything will be there. And I'm going to let you go for today, but I hope you have an amazing week and I will see you next time. Bye.